We're in work session, March 16th, Thursday, March 16th. We're starting it at 5:35, and we're going to start it with a new work session item that our attorney, Tony Rivasigno, is bringing to us, which... Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the Fireside Inn. Has requested the liquor license from the state, and the state always advises the municipalities they have a right to object if they want to, and they've got 30 days to do that. What the Fireside Inn has asked is that we waive the 30-day period so that they can proceed right to getting their license. They don't have to wait an additional month before they can get their license and open. Assuming we don't have any objection, we can agree to waive the 30-day period and they can proceed with their license.
All right. So as mayor, this came obviously with the number of bars in the village. Mm-hmm. This happened on a fairly regular basis. It amazed me how bars would get to a point where they didn't get ahead of the and were in a position where they'd actually have to stop serving unless we did this waiver.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Fireside is in this similar situation. I don't have a problem waiving a 30-day waiver. I've done it many times in the past. I will say this, though. The owner of the Fireside Inn, Stan Dombrowski, has purchased a water conditioner from me. So I would have to recuse myself from this vote. And without me, there's not a quorum. So timing's terrible.
I don't know that you need to recuse your... If there was a question on whether that you have an objection to the liquor license or not, that would be a different story than I'd say you recuse yourself. But this is not having to do with the objection. This is just having to forego the 30 days. You can determine tonight whether or not...
I don't have an objection, but...
do you guys have an objection to the liquor license?
So what's the rationale for a 30-day waiting period?
It's just... That's what the state law is. They give you they send a notice to the municipality saying there's a liquor license. You got 30 days to decide whether you want to object to it, to review it.
Oh.
I mean, most of the time it doesn't happen. I've very, very seldom see anybody object to them. They're usually renewals of licenses or that type of thing.
Sure.
Or you got a new restaurant going in. You know, you don't want to say, okay, you got your restaurant, but now you can't have your liquor license. And if there was an objection, it would have to be for some, you know, valid reason. So generally, they, you know, there aren't any, but the 30-day period is part of the statute, so.
And he has other operations, similar operations, and I think they're in good standing.
I have no problem with it.
He provided some pictures, by the way, just if you want to see them, that it looks like it's pretty well done on this.
Whatever happened with him blacktopping? Parking lot?
He's going for it. We're doing well. So don't kind of float us up. I was going to release Trolley and start that work end of the month, but we'll wait until we don't have time to get his new water service in and relocate that water main under the kitchen.
I still want to put that recusal to bed. So you think it would only come in if I had an objection to it?
Yeah, I mean, waiving the 30-day period just means that, you know, you need more, if you didn't want to waive it, you need more time to review it. But if everybody thinks that they've had enough time to review it or they have no objections.
Well, so it still doesn't sit well with me because it was just brought to us today. So we haven't had a long time to consider it. Not that it's a big issue for me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. In an instance like this and having it discussed publicly, is this something that we could do if I recuse myself or we table this? Could we do a phone poll with the other board members?
No. If you votes have to be in person, you can't do it by phone. And the only problem with this one is we don't have another meeting until April 2nd or first week of April, whatever it is. We got 3 weeks off. Yeah.
What does the town normally do to review an alcohol permit?
Nothing. Normally, towns don't do anything because if you don't have any objection, you don't do anything.
Yeah. So,
I mean, obviously, I don't have an issue with this person's character, how he runs his other bars. But I did want to make that disclosure, though. So
I know, but I mean, I've done business with a man. I mean, I've hired him to cut trees down for me.
Okay. Well, we live in a small community.
Yeah.
So just wanted it to be known. All right. I find I don't have an issue with this. Okay. You know, there have been other facilities that there have been some
questions
that we still gave waivers to. It's just because it's such a big component of that business.
Sure.
So, okay.
Are you uncomfortable?
I'm not uncomfortable at all. I just don't want Joe to be feel as though he's in a bad light. But, you know, I'm fine with it.
Right. I'll have to give me till the vote.
Just give up the business to somebody else, Joe.
Yeah. That's right.
But Bob makes a good point. You know, you hired him to take trees down. You know,
yeah,
it is a small community. And
all right, I just wanted to make the disclosure.
There's no financial gain for you by passing the waiver.
Right.
You don't put any money in your pocket.
Okay.
Whatever you've sold to him is done, gone.
All right. Okay, so that's on here.
Yes, it is.
All right. The other two items on the work session. Actually, if you don't mind, there is a, for the public's benefit, there is a regular agenda item I'd like to add at the request of Gene Dinsmore, our highway superintendent, and those are hires, three hires. So with the board's permission, I'd like to add item F, which would be a motion to hire Casey Ostrander, Mark Kolakowski, and Bianca Valentino to our standing list of supplemental on-call highway laborers at the 2017 contract starting rate of $15.20 per hour, with a starting date of that needs to be determined when Gene gets here, because I don't know if during the snow emergency they put in any time.
What was the last name? Mark Kolakowski? Oh.
That was the notice we received.
I believe Casey worked.
You think he did?
I believe.
All right, so it would probably have to be yesterday's date.
Yeah, retroactive to whatever they...
I know the flu's going around the shop. A couple of guys were out sick with the flu. I think one's injured. I know they're... They've been really stretched the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that. So that's, we'll add that as item F. Is that okay?
Yep.
Good.
Okay. Then what we'll do is we'll move on to the two work session items that appear. Both will be presented by Al, our town engineer, Al Yeager.
Who?
Bless you.
Thank you.
Building office. So, we ran out of 11 by 17 papers, so a couple of these are printed on cardstock.
Cardstock?
Yeah.
You frame this. Okay, so I'll lead us into this. During budget time, we talked about projects that we were going to try to accomplish over the course of the year, and some older projects that we had that we wanted to finish, if you remember.
Yep.
One of the things that I brought up prior to the budget time, but was considered along with some other improvements to highway facilities, was building modifications, and the number that we'd come up with was what was the
56, 54,
like 56 or $54,000 was in that round. That number would have been difficult, if not impossible, to achieve given the other projects that we wanted to finish. So what I thought we should do is phase these in. With a new position of Nancy Mott and her role as assessor and what we're planning to do as far as... Receiver of taxes, not assessor. Did I say assessor? Assistant to supervisor and assisting Dave Raleigh. We're moving her to the reception area outside of the three main offices in the conference room. To collect taxes, there should be separation between the public and the person that's actually has the money box. There's a desire to put a window in where the assessor's office is to have a separation between the public and the assessor's employees, with the option of buzzing people in should they need to review maps or a personal consultation. And then moving parks from where they are in the back of the building up to where the tax collection office is. Those are the modifications. We're basically reusing all of the doors
that we're proposing. All the doors are going to be reused. One's being removed and stored for phase two of this, and then we're moving two doors from down on this office into the park supervisor's office, and then the new door to buzz in into the receiver of taxes office and the Joe's office and Dave's office.
Yep. And so phase two we're hoping to fund with a grant for the courts. We have to wait because the state budget, I don't believe, has been passed yet. The courts have to wait and see what's available for those types of grants. So we'll be applying for a court grant later in the summer, and a lot of the money that we'll be proposing will have, because it has to do with courts and the realignment of the court, we're hoping that that funds a large chunk of phase two. I'll give you an example. Today we had an individual come in who seemed confused, came to the clerk's window, the court window, and the receiver of taxes window with just an odd request, and had access to the building. Could have walked anywhere. I literally went to get this red folder in my office, left the clerk's office, got this folder to bring it back to the clerk's office, and the guy was gone. I mean, he wasn't in the parking lot, wasn't in cars, wasn't in the restrooms, but could have been anywhere because this building is just wide open. So there's a security concern. There's a security component to this, but there's also hopefully this facility will be easier to use for our constituents. I inherited a monitor and a camera angle from the lobby. I kind of wish I didn't have, but every day I see people walk into the front door and just look around confused. They don't know where to go. They'll go to this window, they'll be directed to this window, and it's not an easy place to find what you're looking for. So there's a component for our constituents as well, as far as making this an easier place to come in and do business, whether you're paying taxes or you want to sign up for a parks program or you want to talk to the code enforcement officer. So Al, that's the reasoning behind this, and Al's can run through the physical components of it.
Is there a need for signage?
There is. the signage, so there is signage there. How we get people to read the signage, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's up a little higher, so people don't hit their heads on it, and it's on the wall placards that come out from the wall. But it's for some reason people don't notice them. Maybe we do some kind of a sign tree or something in the middle of the rotunda. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the best way to address it, honestly. But there could be a need for some signage. I don't think it's a huge expense to do what I'm thinking of with like a sign tree, you know, clerk's office this way, receiver of taxes this way, parks and recreation, assessor, something like that.
Or even a little kiosk.
Yeah, kiosk with a map in it even. Yeah. It would work. So initially we were going to try to, with this project, reuse where the court clerk's window is right here. We are going to reset that over where the receiver of taxes is going to be. Because we can't move the court clerks right now, we can't do that. So there's a little bit of a extra cost and a piece of safety glass with some openings cut into it and a piece of countertop to facilitate that new counter or window that has to go in.
Okay.
Other than that, we have to some kind of partition wall between the. My thought would be to just do a drywall half wall and then drywall the existing half wall behind the supervisor secretary's desk. Right now, it's kind of a dingy looking piece of oak plywood, and then just replace the top on that so it matches all the way around, or refinish the top that's there and just get a new piece of bull nose oak to do the new half wall. We would need two buzz-in entrance buzzers for this door here, one at the window and then one at the desk, so Nancy didn't have to get up every time somebody walked up to buzz them in. The assessor's window is relocated from the existing window down in the Parks and Rec department, so there's no new window there. There's an existing door in the copy room here that it's the same width, and there's actually a frame and hinges there. We're just swapping it over to the other location and putting a fob there so that the access to the assessor's office is controlled. And at the other assessor's office entrance door is another access fob reader. That's the extent of the what we're proposing now. I handed to you all an estimate of probable project costs. This is a worst case scenario. I know that you can see I've got a $2,270 contingency in here. The other thing I didn't mention, and I went through it with Joe, we did redid the soffit all the way around this building, and we did not get in the bid when we did it. I did not include the soffit on the rotunda. There's a piece of exterior soffit there. The soffit was initially done with just green board, like bathroom drywall board, and they put vents in the bottom of the soffit. So in the horizontal face, they put a vent, but there's no vent at the top. So what happens is heat bleeds out of the building. That space becomes warmed, it hits the cold air that's coming through the vent in the bottom, and the moisture condenses on the fascia and runs down onto that green board. So what's happened is the green board, from water damage, it saturates, it starts to fall apart, the paint peels off. There's a couple panels that were fixed before already that were never painted. It's not really visible unless you're in the rotunda looking up, but it is something that's, you know, an opening for pests to get in now because of the water damage. So we would put new button vents at the top of the fascia to get airflow out, so the warm air will go out and escape, and we don't have that condensation problem, and replace that with a Dens glass product, which is rated for exterior application more than green board. They actually, the pieces that they replaced, they didn't even use a green board, they just used regular drywall. So that's why that's already failing. I have a flooring allowance in there. I do not know if the wall that we have to demo has flooring under it, so we may need to retile a small piece of that area. We have two new network connections. One, because we'll ultimately end up needing either one or two new workstations here on either side of the receiver or taxes window, and we'll need data connections for those. And the 30-foot of wall construction includes the new wall where the access door is to access the receivers and taxes and supervisor's office. and the half wall from the existing half wall behind the secretary's desk up to the corner here. You know, hopefully we don't need to use the flooring allowance at all. It really depends on if they built that wall before they put flooring down, or if they, and I just don't know, without tearing into stuff, and I don't want to.
You want to rip something out, Jack?
No. No. You know, it's a conservative number. I'm 100% positive that the bids we get will be less than this, but at the like I said to you before, last thing I want to do is give you guys an estimate and then have bids come in higher than what my estimate is. So.
Appreciate that.
And we do think that we can, there's a good chance that we can, that this will fit right in nicely with, because the other numbers that were conservative as far as what we were talking about with the salt.
Storage. Yeah, we were
salt storage facility, which came up last minute last year. Remember that?
Yep. Not salt store or the roof numbers. Yeah. So the roof numbers, we had I think it was 32,000 set aside, and I talked to the contractor about how they derived that number, and they've already come down to 23,000, and they think they may even do better than that. So. We should see some savings on that project as well.
I don't understand what's happening with the copy room in this hallway. What's happening there?
So there's an electrical panel just to the left of this window that we'd rather not move. So we're moving the entryway. So like if someone was coming in to the conference room or to meet with Dave Riley or myself or Dave.
Oh, nothing's happening there.
They're just taking the wall out and they're moving
this
wall back.
This wall's coming down.
Oh, you know, that's this that you're looking, you're confused by that right there.
What is that thing?
That is nothing. It's on a no-print layer. I'm not sure why it printed.
Okay. That's the copy room.
That's copy room.
You're taking this wall down and moving it over?
Correct. Because there's behind this door, it is a electrical service panel.
Okay. So instead of spinning, okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would just spin that door. But
gotcha. And is this cubicle staying?
That desk workspace is staying. That'll be Nancy's desk space.
So is the half wall blocking the entrance to get into it?
Well, that's this is the public access.
Yeah, no, so her opening, yeah.
If someone gets buzzed in, they'll come through here. Yep. That way they're not walking through her workspace.
Yeah, we'll reconfigure. That how desk is that desk is modular, so we'll reconfigure that to get her in and out.
Because right here,
right now is your opening.
A walkway to get into the cubicle.
Yes, it is.
No, not that side.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the opening to get in there. Yeah, well, but we can reconfigure the.
Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah.
But see, that what if we're going to have people buzzed in here.
So if someone comes to the window and needs to come in, she'll buzz them into the.
And they'll walk. Yeah, that'll be more like a walkway.
A hallway, aisleway, whatever you want.
That just separates.
With a half wall.
Yep, with a half wall.
Still see
with her workspace.
Okay. But keeps her separate.
Like you said, though, just stop traffic from cutting across this way.
Right.
Yeah. When she's collecting taxes, it's a.
Okay. Makes sense.
Busy.
Yeah.
And that way we don't have to take that wall out.
We just leave it there.
We just leave that wall there because, you know, this is going to be a walk.
Gotcha.
Walking area as well to get to the conference room and the other offices.
Makes sense to me.
So we'll have to move her entryway probably
to the other side. Yeah, we'll have to reconfigure her desk space.
So with that, what we'll do is, Al, if you want to put this out
to
bid.
We'll get this out to bid.
We'll come back.
Get the big package together. I would like to have the bid package for this and the, I think we're going to do the sewer pump at the parks through county bid for the directional drill and the lateral. So that may not be on the 11th just because we got to contact those two homeowners. But
right.
I should be able to get a package together for this for our meeting on the 3rd or whatever day we meet in April
6th.
So get authorization to advertise it and bid it. Obviously, because we start taking in taxes as of September 1st, this is so if we get authorization to bid it in April, we'll close bids our first meeting or award a contract first meeting in May, and you know, basically they'll
June,
get
July,
yeah,
August.
May, June, July, August to get it done. So
you're working at night, obviously, when we're not.
Yeah, we're gonna do request night and weekend work, just so it's not
disrupting business.
It will minimize it as much as possible. Other than this new removing this door assembly and these walls, I mean the rest of the work is a, you know, 2 or 3 day project, at most, probably 2 days. But the night work, we will want to have some night work to do the demo and reframe that other wall and reframe the window for the court clerks. But realistically, you can probably get all that framed and hung in a weekend, I would think. It's just not that much square footage. So, and it's metal stud framing, so it should go fairly quick.
Yeah, so we'll come back with the bids and share with what we come up with. I mean, again, this is a conservative.
Yeah, I mean, really, number. Technically, Dave's not here. I think our procurement is we can do written quotes up to, is it 15 or 25,000? 25,000. So technically, we could just do 3 written quotes and not do a full bid package on this if you want. And then we don't have to get authorization to advertise, and we can, as soon as I get the drawings and the spec done, we could send it to some local contractors and get numbers. That might speed us up a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Or we can do the full bid package, either or.
And some of the money's coming from the savings from the project at the
ground. At the highway. Barn, yep.
And the other?
I we'll have to see how this shakes out. If we want to do a budget transfer, we could hold off on the, right now we have the fascia for the highway barn on the schedule. We could hold off on that for a year and do this. My estimates for the cold storage facility are conservative. Do I think there's this much conservativeness in them? Probably not, but
yeah, we've allocated $25,000 to run gas and power
over there. I mean
that's,
hopefully that can be done for less than, you know, $12,000-$15,000, but it's one of those things that it's not something that's necessarily totally in my wheelhouse, in that it's not something that I bid all the time, so I give you a worst case number, so I don't come in
gotcha
short. Okay. And same thing with this is I'm a site development roads guy, drainage and sewers, so this is interior building stuff is not exactly my something I got a ton of experience in. Not that I can't do it, it's just not something I've got a ton of experience in bidding. So
okay,
you know, I've talked to a couple contractors about the numbers I used, and they've said that they're not out of line. So
okay,
good.
Yeah, so I do want the local contractors to have an opportunity at this.
Sure.
So maybe we can, I don't know how we.
I mean, we just send the drawing and the specifications of what we want to.
Put it on our website. And.
Yeah, I mean, and if anybody has local contractors that they think might be interested, we can send it to them. I know Eldon Holmes was interested. I actually contacted the contractor that did the soffit work around the exterior of the building, and he was interested. I mean, he's not necessarily local, but we had trouble getting local guys to bid that project here. I mean, we called everybody and their brother, and nobody seemed to be real interested in doing that project for some reason.
All right. So, yeah, let's see what we get back as far as numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers. And I'd be curious to see, do you think by the time we meet again, we'll get better numbers for the salt storage facility?
The cold storage facility?
No, the salt shed.
Oh, the salt shed? It really depends on, I think it depends on what they find when they start getting into putting the flashing on the where those plexiglass panels are. Where the it's not flashed correctly. I really think it depends on what they find when they start peeling back shingles there. I think before they, you know.
Okay.
Initially, you said a minimum $9,000 savings.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and then hopefully more?
Hopefully. I mean, it really depends on what they find.
It's more than a third of this right there.
Yep.
And five. And
that's with this being at 24. You knock down to 22, and you're getting closer to...
Yeah, I mean, we'll close... We'll do as much as we can. You know, I mean, it's...
I know you will.
It's...
That takes care of as much as... Because when you get into the courts and the movement, I mean, it triggers a whole different can of worms. I mean, because that actually... Al will move from that office
to Dan's
into
office.
Dan's office. Dan actually moves into codes. Court clerks are operating out of here with a new window, and we have to put in a door that separates.
Yeah, we were
going to
relocate the double door that's where the tax receiver's window is going to there.
Gotcha.
So that, and we got to relocate the door.
That's
to
a much
the
bigger move,
cafeteria.
And
well.
I think we can get funding for most of that.
Cool.
That would be nice.
All right.
Looks like a good plan.
All right.
Yeah. And then the pavement management plan.
Yep. The pavement management plan.
Thank you.
Glare. Up to the clock?
Yeah. It's bad enough I can't see it. Then you add that glare to it.
6:07.
10.
So, here's the list of roads. Here is my cost estimates. I have reviewed all this with Gene, and he is willing to haul as much, or he's indicated to me that he's willing to haul material this year, which that's what these numbers are based off of. All these numbers do include a 10% contingency at this time, just because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with asphalt prices. It's my understanding that one of the refineries in northern New Jersey that was producing asphalt previously is not going to produce asphalt emulsion this year. I've heard some people say that they don't expect it to affect us in upstate at all. However, the asphalt escalation index is based off a DOT number, which is derived from all
state,
the entire state. So they expect that to affect asphalt prices in New York City and northern New Jersey more than they do up here, but there may be, because the asphalt index is a statewide number, we may see some increases this summer because of that. But it's an unknown, so we've got some contingency in there. I do have money in these estimates for binder repairs, if they're needed. If we run into areas that we need to do binder repairs, there's money in there. Hopefully, the binder repairs are a minimum. We do include two. So last year we did two catch basins on Willett Parkway and one cross culvert. We would like to at least start doing that amount of work every year to try to get the drainage infrastructure on Willett back up to snuff. We did have two sinkholes that developed in Willett Parkway last year that cost us pushing $15,000 to repair. So we're trying to we're going to pick the worst catch basins that we can find and do those first to you know, baby steps. We've got limited budget. We try to work within it.
How many catch basins are in Willett?
Don't know off the top of my head, but it's over 40. It's over 40. At some point in time, we're going to have to. That's just catch basins. That's not including the junction boxes that are in the middle of the median, as well. So. We do have one cold mix project in Chatham Woods. Chatham Woods, it was actually on the schedule last year, and we ran out of money to get it done. It is one of our older subdivisions. We've done pavement cores on it. It does not have crushed stone subbase. It's got a silty, sandy, bank run gravel subbase, which is why it's moving so much. The cold mix material is much more forgiving when you don't have adequate subbase. It heals itself. It's a little more pliable and not so brittle, so it doesn't crack as fast.
Did you put tile down too, or no? Was that something else?
No, there's actually under drain in that development.
Okay.
It's the reason that it's moving, I think, is just because it's substandard subbase. I mean, it's the same subbase that we have up in Indian Springs. That it just moves because of the silt in it. That silt migrates, and doesn't bode well.
I see you have the fog line.
I do. That's something that we had talked about previously. We did get a $50,000 grant from Senator DeFrancisco's office that
helps make that palatable.
It totally is the board's discretion. I mean, ultimately, Gene is probably going to say, I do want a board resolution to do that if the board so chooses. But I do have the $6,500 in the estimate to do it. So it really is the board's discretion. I know Gene is fundamentally opposed to it. So if the board does want to see the fog line striping, it would have to be a town board resolution to make sure it happens.
Does it set any kind of precedent?
It didn't before.
No.
No? Okay.
Having that $50,000 grant from DeFrancisco's office, I thought, since it's not local taxpayer, it's state aid for a road project, I thought that we could allow for that. It made it more palatable for me anyways. It doesn't set a precedent unless a future board wanted to go after another grant to help fund that as well. I mean, it's ultimately the discretion of the board, but I make the decisions easier for me simply because of the additional funding that we got. And it's not, it is a unique, and I've looked at the road. It's a unique road. There are very few roads that are that long and that have that wide and have that much foot traffic on it that feed Radisson. I mean, Radisson is just a community that years ago benefited from Willett Parkway and West Entry and really long feeder roads to get into it. I mean, it's a community that's kind of way off the road, except for the newest spots on 31.
Right. You will see that is a chip seal, so it is a stone and oil treatment. Mm-hmm. Would love to do a fiber micro or a slurry seal on it. It's about $50,000 a cost.
It's about how much?
About $50,000.
And that's not, is that the entire length?
That is from 31 north, not the short extension south of 31 that goes into the River Knoll apartments. That's a town road. That's Drake's Landing as well.
Right, but Drake's runs
all the way to the dead end.
We're
going to chip seal the whole thing all the way out.
Okay.
I also have that northern end has some cracking in it, so we'll crack seal it before we chip seal.
When was the last time it was done?
That northern end was overlaid, I believe, approximately 2007. So we're about 10 years in. We've got some cracking going on. It hasn't had anything done to it in 10 years. It's time to do something to it.
And you chip sealed it before?
That northern end we did not. We only chip sealed the cold in place recycle portion of the project that we did 3 years ago now. This will be the fourth summer out for it. Fourth summer.
Okay. It's a lot of road work. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of road work. It's good. It's good. And I think Al went through his presentation with me earlier today. I think it'll be very enlightening for the public as far as the process and how we determine the roads that we're going to work on.
Now, you said Gene has seen all of this. Mm-hmm. Is he in agreement with the majority of it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this will be an issue.
I asked that question.
If that's the only issue, times. Then I don't.
Well, I mean.
Are there other things that he's.
Obviously, you'd love to have more funding, but that's not what we're discussing at this point in time. He's got to make that argument in September for next year.
Yeah, we're talking about
our current resources. Yeah, we're talking about resources. What we have right now for this year. You'll notice the total I have is 750 shown here.
Mm-hmm.
That's 700,000 that was included in the budget plus the 50,000 from Beef Francisco. Okay.
Gotcha.
So it's tight. I would love to see a little more money for miscellaneous repairs just because of, like I said, we had two sinkholes in Willow Parkway last year that were 15 grand. You know, hopefully we do some of these projects and we have some substantial savings in that can cover any unknowns that we don't see right now.
What I would like to see, and I know we've talked about it, I would like to see the final product. I mean, this is an estimate. This is what we're hoping to do. I would like to see.
I know.
Actual.
And I get it. And
is that request been made of the?
It has. And I don't have that data myself. I don't. I can pull all the vouchers from the comptroller and piece it together as best I can, but I don't have the data. It's not my department. I can tell you how many tons of asphalt we put down on each road. I can tell you a lot of information that I do have, but I don't have everything to be able to tell you that from last year. I don't. If I did, I would absolutely give it to you. I don't really want to spend, quite honestly, I don't really want to spend the time to do the research through the comptroller's office to do that. If you guys really need me to, I'll make time or find a way to do it. But it's really something that I would like to see Gene's department.
I know. I mean, you're just hearing it from me, but I know I would like to see.
I hope that he can pull that together for us.
Okay.
I mean, I'll help him. I'll do whatever I can. You know, I'm always here to
appreciate it. See your desk from here. you got a few things going on.
I got a couple things going on right now. I'm kind of
shut that door.
Okay. Can I throw a match in before I do? No. I'm
it's a busy time.
It's a really busy time. It's a really, really busy time.
I'm not
time
throwing it on your shoulders.
It's a really, really busy time of year.
I would like to know.
I think Dan has been working with a gentleman.
Yes, he has.
That might be crafting a
database.
A database
to help with this initiative. Yeah.
Yeah. Where Access database, basically.
Yep. Using Access. Any other questions about roads, pavement?
Looks impressive.
I mean, it's approximately 5,000 tons of hot mix asphalt, a little over 5,000 tons of hot mix asphalt, and then about 16 or 1,700 tons of cold mix. So it's a significant, you know, we're pushing 7,000 tons again this year. It's a significant amount of work.
And I think it's an impressive report.
Yeah,
it's good. We're on the right track.
Yes.
Yeah, we're moving. Baby steps. We're moving in the right direction.
Hauling our own material has added $65,000.
Yeah, last year we spent about $6,500 on contract.
Is Mercer Street something we would partake in doing some of it, or is that farming out?
In the past, we have contracted all of that. On Dexter Parkway, we did do the paving ourselves. And I'm not opposed to that. What we did on Crego Street, when we did Crego Street 2 years ago, is we put the binder in as an additive bid item. And if we got, quite frankly, a very good price. And we went with it as an additive bid item because we couldn't have. It would have cost us as much to do it on our own with our own trucking as what they quoted us. So we awarded it to the contractor in that instance. I think our guys could probably do the under drain on that job. The problem is you're coordinating. So a contractor would want to do the mainline drainage, and then you got to stop the contractor come in, get all our under drain done, and then have the contractor mobilize back in to do the grading, fine grading for the sub base installation and compaction, and then pave it. So we're it'd be a balancing act, and it would tie our guys. I mean, when we did the under drain on Drake's Landing and the under drain on what's the other street we did it on? We've done it on a couple places around town. Our guys can do 200, 250 feet in a day. And Mercer Street, so you're two sides, so you're 4,500, 4,600 lineal feet. So it would be a...
involved.
Yeah, you're
and that's
you're,
if you had a consecutive day opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, quite honestly, contractors can, I mean, gotcha. They'll do 600-700 feet in a day.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're going to utilize our guys as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean,
where it makes sense. But where there's efficiencies, because this is a lot of work.
It is. That's a big project. I mean, that's a big project to get our guys involved in it. Is going to slow it down, and there's some cost savings there. There's no question about it. I mean, there's probably $40,000, I bet, in cost savings if we tried to do that ourselves. It's a matter of time and coordination.
What's the earliest we can start?
Well, we got to bid the project. The surveyor had started some of the work up there, then we got two feet of snow. So I don't think he's fully finished with the topo work. The contract said he had to be done by the end of March, but I mean, right. We can't hold him to that, obviously. And we want good data, so we don't want to tell him to go out there and dig holes to get to grade and take shots that way. So we probably won't get our survey now until first, second week in April, depending on what happens with melt off here. I would like to say that we can have a full contract package ready to bid the second meeting of May, would be my goal. Bid it the second meeting of May, award it the second meeting in June, and you know, get a contractor mobilized as soon as possible, and start on it. As far as the rest of the stuff, I mean, it's all weather permitting. We try not to do mill and fill projects when school buses are running, just because it's cumbersome. It slows down the process to some degree to get school buses in and out. We try to wait until school is out before we do those projects. That's the, as an FYI, there's some extra money in the line item for Runnymede as well. There's a couple catch basins that need to be replaced there and a piece of pipe that needs to be slip lined at the low point. So there's about $7,000 in the budget for that for the highway guys to do. We're gonna do that with the highway guys.
So last year, what can we do better as far as roads? Do we need to get on the schedule sooner? Is it first come first serve with road work, or
it is? We.
Because the money's there. I mean, this is once you roll through this.
I get it.
It seems like the longer we wait, the less options we have as far as.
They were doing chip sealing last year in May. We don't have a lot of chip seal in the budget this year. We just don't have a lot of chip seal projects. We only have the Drake's Landing project. And realistically, we probably won't get the approval out of the state for that until July or August. So we can't do that. That's going to be a September project. This is really going to be July, August work.
You know, that $50,000, that doesn't necessarily, I mean.
We can't spend it. We can't until the, we got burned by this before when we did
Right, right. But what I'm saying is if there's the $50,000 is supposed to go to road work.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if any one of these other projects, if the $50,000 fits, if the $50,000 in the budget for road work.
Okay.
So if it's a timing thing, factor that into where you're going to position that $50,000.
Okay, I already told her.
You submitted that?
I already told her Drake's.
Okay.
So, I can ask if it's too late to change. Ultimately, I don't want to put us in a position where we're milling and filling when the school buses are running either.
No, only if it helps your cause. So that's fine.
We're limited in time and time of year that you want to do it, just because it does become cumbersome and it slows you down when the school buses are running.
Yeah.
And you got that additional hazard of kids running through hot asphalt. And
we did a project in the village once, Oneida Street. If you guys drive up Oneida Street by the school district, that steep hill, those buses dragged that blacktop right down the hill.
Yeah,
it was a sag in the road. I mean, you can see where the braking just dragged the.
Buses really can
wreak havoc.
You really want to, if at all possible, try to do it on non-garbage days and on when the school isn't in session. I mean, from getting the job done standpoint.
Thanks, Al.
All right, so this is rare for us in a work session to conclude our work session items. So that being said, we don't need a half an hour to set up the room for the normal meeting. For anybody that came here and is in the audience and wanted to just ask us questions on any particular issue, we could probably do that for 10 or 15 minutes. Since we're here.
You were talking about roads. Live on Patchett Road.
Yep.
And on the same Patchett Road, the sign up says bump.
Mm-hmm. Bump, yep.
What's being done about that?
What's your name, sir, just for the record?
Jack Schmidl, 3306 Patchett.
Go ahead, Al.
I believe Gene is going to mill the. I think what happened there is there's a cross culvert there. My guess is it's part of a settling issue where that cross culvert was put in.
Mm-hmm. When they changed the road down there, mm-hmm. the new road to the new mission,
mm-hmm.
they changed the corner of that road there.
I know, yep.
And I assume that they repaired the other part of the road, but the passage part of the road didn't get repaired.
No, I think they actually put in a new culvert there, and the bump is at a culvert crossing.
But it's rough all the way along, not just one place. It's a couple hundred feet.
Well, it's older asphalt that hasn't been paved since it was done in 2012. But the bump is actually because there's a bump where that culvert goes across, and we got a complaint because somebody's trailer hit the bump and dragged. So that's why the bump sign is there.
Is it a shallow culvert?
No, it's actually relatively deep. I think that's why
it
sagged. So we're going to shave the top end, top side, and just do a shim patch in there.
Is it something that would fit into this year's plan if we have savings?
Yeah, I mean, Gene intends to do it. So, I mean, that's not a...
Okay.
We're talking a couple tons of asphalt. So that just the bump part. We're not going to do that stretch. We're not going to mobilize... a milling machine to do a 200-foot stretch of road this year, but we'll fix the bump.
So why wasn't that section fixed when they fixed the new part of the road?
More than likely what will end up happening with that is we'll end up sealing that section, or crack sealing and sealing that section of road when we seal the rest of Patchett Road when we do shoulder improvements.
So that's going to happen this year?
No. It's a couple things up in the air on that right now. Would love to do it as soon as possible. I mean, it's really all dependent on funding. It really is. It's all dependent on funding. I
it's a big job. I mean, so it's something that's way up on my priority list as far as from a public safety issue, given the fact that, you know, a bus overturned on Patchett, there's shoulder work that needs to be done. So that's something that I'll push. There might be funding opportunities depending how certain chips fall. There might not be, and then depending on how that goes, we'll have to prioritize it in our roadwork budget. But it's I'll go on record. It's way up there on my priority list.
Mine as well. It's just a matter of, you know, I it's not in this year's plan because we don't know what's happening with Collington Point. That's kind of that was one of the incentives on that. To do that project is going to take, you know, on our current $700,000 funding level, we're going to use 40% of our budget on that one project. It's a tough spend for a farm to market road that, you know, when we've got 23,000 residents in the town, it's a tough spend to spend 40% of your budget on one small country road.
But it sounds like we'll take care of your bump.
Yeah.
Well, I was more concerned about the whole 200 yards there. Other than that, the section that's curved, when they change the road, you put a curve in.
Yep.
The whole curve is doesn't have any much space in it or something because it's rough as a devil.
And that's right at the end, right by Collington?
It really is. I've ridden it. I mean, the big part of it is that bump where the culvert is the rough part that I've noticed.
Okay. Thanks, Jack. We'll be, you know, if it's on the radar, obviously Gene, I think, has an intention of taking care of the bump.
It's not a big expense to fix a bump. I mean, it's, you know, 3 or 4 tons of blacktop and a mill for a day. You know, the skid steer mill, we can do it. So it's not a huge area. We don't have to mobilize in a large piece of equipment. We can do it with our skid steer and a milling head to fix small areas like that. Done several of them around town in recent years, so I know it's something that's on his radar.
Are you closer to the Collington Point project as a residence on Patchett?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Jack.
My name's Jeff. I'm the president of Moms Little League. He asked me to come to the meeting.
Yeah.
We want that parking lot at Lee's Memorial Park done. And Van Buren keeps saying Lysander needs to do it, and Lysander keeps saying Van Buren needs to do it.
Well, we both want to do it. We both want to do it.
Good.
They have, how they're funding it is different than how we would fund it. And and we spoke on the phone, correct?
Yep.
Okay. The other issue that came up was, you know, we would obviously, we get resources from the public, exclusively from the town of Lysander. And if we were to provide resources from the town of Lysander, obviously we would want as many of our residents to benefit from the use of those funds. And it was brought to our attention that not through any fault of Ballinsville Little League, who happens to use the facility, that we're looking to cooperate with the other municipalities to help fix, you don't draw your lines as far as the Little Leagues go. And I think when we talked, I asked how big of a deal would it be to have the town of Lysander included in your Little League.
You can sit right up here if you want.
Yeah, have a seat.
In addition to that map, any child who goes to any school inside the map, which includes all of Baldwinsville schools and St. Mary's and Word of Life, can choose to go to our school. So if you live outside that map but you go to school in Baldwinsville, you play in our league. So I think what we cover that? At least 98% of the kids in Lysander.
I gotta assume there's some Jordan Elbridge school kids in Jex Reef.
There's Cato Meridian.
And I gotta believe there's some Phoenix school residents.
The Phoenix School residents would play in our league. They do.
They do.
We have plenty of them too.
So there's a very small. Radisson's included?
Radisson is 100% included now. Because yeah. Radisson, all the people in Radisson go to Baldwin School. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was a concern.
The Jacks Reef, the Cato Meridian people do not, they don't play in their league. They just, that's the way it's drawn up. But I think that we're catching at least 9,800. We're the largest little league in upstate New York. We have over almost 620 kids this year that are going to play. And on any given Saturday, there's at least 2,500 people that come in and out when you figure the families, the grandparents, the aunts, uncles, the friends that come and watch people play.
Who determined that the driveway and parking lot needed a double course?
I know Steve D'Arcangelo has taken a look at it. We just said there's problems with it. We got them involved, someone from the highway department, and then Steve has taken a look at it and determined it needs it.
So, you know, I'm not an engineer, mm-hmm. But I know Steve well, and I'll actually see him tomorrow.
Good.
One of the questions that I had when I went down there and drove around was whether or not it needs a double course, which obviously doubles the cost. That was one issue. Another issue is when this request came to us, and it's just a timing thing. It's something that we can learn from so that next year when we consider a capital project like this in the park, that it's prior to our budget time, because we didn't budget for this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sure you know, in sitting in the audience, we take spending very seriously, and it just was revenue that we had anticipated to spend on that project. So maybe next year in the fall, we can bump up our multi-municipal meeting, and that way we can consider it when we get into budget time.
I don't know what a double course is. I don't know what it needs. That's not what I am. I mean, I'm all about the baseball. But, you know, if you're going to look at it for this year and it's not going to get done this year, what do I need to do right now to get, because this would be early for next year. What do I need to do to get it on your docket?
Yeah, no, I would just say if it's not going to happen this year, and I think the board came to the conclusion that we'd rather not do it this year. And if Steve, when I talk to Steve tomorrow, if it's not completely detrimental to the infrastructure of the park, it would be better for us to push it back to next year. It would also, and I would ask this as a favor, and I don't know how much, if it's just a matter of writing a letter. But if you could communicate to Little League that you have an opportunity to work with three municipalities to help support the park that you utilize, if they could redraw their district lines and include
the town of Lysander,
it would also...
That I am familiar with, because I've been on our board for 12, 13 years. That's an act of God.
Well, they got Radisson. You got Radisson, right?
We got Radisson not as part of the map, but because they go to Baldwin's schools.
Okay, would it help if I wrote a letter? Because here's the thing. That's a legitimate concern raised. I mean, because it's tax dollars. It's not my money. It's everyone's money. And it would just...
And not everyone's benefiting.
And not everybody benefits from it. And from a town perspective, I mean, the Village of Baldwin, it's a village park. It's outside of the village. Just outside the village, but it's a village park. We can help the village because it's a village park. We're not helping Little League per se. We're helping the park that Little League utilizes. We can, and we have cooperated in the past. Van Buren more so than Lysander, I'll say.
Yeah.
As an ex-village mayor.
There's a school called Blessed Virgin Mary. Have you ever heard of it? And I believe that it is in Jordan Elbridge. I believe it's in the town of Lysander in Jordan Elbridge. They actually, we've been working with them for 3 years. They actually play their varsity games at our park. So they're, by extension there, there are Jordan Elbridge kids that play there. In addition, there's a numerous travel teams that play up there. I have three.
Well Jordan Elbridge isn't, it would just be really the... Jacks Reef's kids.
Okay.
And which are in Jordan Elbridge.
Yeah, Jacks Reef's kids are Jordan Elbridge. The northern, the kids up by, from the northwest corner go to Cato Meridian, southwest corner is Jordan Elbridge.
Who goes to northeast? Go to Phoenix?
Yeah, the northeast from Lamson Road. Yeah, north Lamson Road, all the way into West Phoenix are all the northern part of Fairways North are all Phoenix school districts.
So if you would be willing to write a letter, I would be willing to write a letter to just make that request. I think it's whether or not it's.
You ever watch in the summer the World Series that goes through there?
Yeah.
They don't adjust the maps because people all the time request changes, and they do it to try to envelop solid players that are 10 and 11 so they can get them when they're 12. So very infrequently, and you have to have a really good reason to change your map, more so than the parking lot. I know the details of that. I'd have a greater chance of paving the parking lot myself.
So I'm assuming, with that being said, that they're also very inflexible with allowing children to go from athletes to go from one side of the boundary to the other side of the boundary.
In fall ball, we do it, and we've had Cato kids, several of them play in our league in the fall because it's not a little league thing. So from September. From August until the end of the season, the end of September, they do play in the park. But for Little League season, because Cato Meridian has their own Little League, they have to play there.
Okay.
So here's all right. And it's less of an issue for me because I also understand that it's a facility that. If kids were out there throwing, you're not going to chase kids off or throwing baseballs no. around. So another way to think about it is that does Cato Meridian support the park as a municipality, or is that all privately managed?
I understand the question.
My question is, if Cato is willing to accept Lysander residents to play in their park and fund capital projects in that park, then I could see us doing the same.
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't really know the league.
Cato Ira Meridian, Simard Field is Cato Ira Meridian.
Yes, that's where they
I don't know where all the money comes from for it. I'm guessing it's those three towns help.
Yeah.
But that's only a guess. I don't
okay, I can look into that. So we want to help. But we've got to first of all, it's gotta be presented to us before our budget time.
When is that?
We start in the fall. Okay. So we September.
So by presenting, what do you mean? Do I have to do to present? Is that what I'm doing?
Well, right? I mean, you've already presented this project. But in the future, so when we meet annually, we should meet on an annual basis. We used to meet once a year. And you talk about projects where you might need intermunicipal cooperation, mm-hmm. multiple municipalities. The best time to do that is in the fall.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to the towns. The village is on a different calendar
fiscal year.
Fiscal year is a little different, but they can still accommodate that. Because it is a village park. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is we have a park where the village might be helping us with a project. So that's just something that we'll figure out and negotiate. Well aware of the project. I wanted to make sure that you understood what some of the issues were for us. I think it's great. It's how many kids play there?
620.
620.
And growing.
Yeah, so. That's great. I still would be willing to write a letter to Little League, and you'd probably get three other municipal heads to also write letters and deliver this for greater Baldwinsville. And maybe if Little League understood that by changing a couple lines, one of their programs would benefit. Maybe not. I don't know. That's why they pay me the big bucks. I can write a letter.
They have people write those letters all the time just to try to envelop one kid if they see him if he's a stud player at age 10. And that way they can win. It's crazy. It's absolutely.
Well, this is less about a player and more about a facility.
I know it is.
So we'll see. We'll I'll work with
there
you.
There aren't any players out there. Gain them any we're trying to get. Right? It's,
like you said, it's pretty wild. We just want the parking lot taken care of. And Van Buren says that they want your help to do it. And
well, here's the thing. If you don't,
we're never going to get this parking lot done.
You know, that's
why Sanders saying that. That Van Buren needs to take care of. Van Buren is saying that Lysander.
There's an old saying, the wheels of government turn slowly. and it's frustrating sometimes, but when they turn, they turn. And, you know, we're talking about if Van Buren is already in and you can get away with a single course, that's half the cost. They were willing to pay half of it anyways. You could pull the trigger this year if they were willing to do it. I'd like to partner with them. I mean, that's the whole point of an intermunicipal cooperative agreement, but
okay.
I'll see Steve tomorrow.
Good.
And if we can get away with a single top course, that cuts the cost in half, and maybe it's something we can do. When's your season start?
Our season starts April 23rd.
Okay. It doesn't have to be done that early.
Absolutely not.
So I'll talk to Steve, and I'll get back in touch with you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
We are pleasantly waiting. Next year, to both boards, we're probably going to bring 400 or 500 people out to impress upon you what we want.
Well, all right. That's your right.
Up for you.
Yeah, all we'll right. have to move the venue. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to time go to the bathroom before this.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? All right. Now we got some time. Take a break.
Before I forget.
All right, we're ending the work session at 6:47. Just put stop.
Yeah.